somebody want to leave one on?
Are you asking me?
No.
Well, if whoever has...
I have an 8:45, Your Honor.
Okay, you would not normally be here for the 9:30?
That's correct.
All right, okay.
What?
Your claim is on behalf of William Stansberry, in the estate of Simon Bernstein. This is a motion, Your Honor, to relieve Mr. Stansberry of further responsibility of funding what we call the Chicago insurance litigation. Your Honor may recall that while Mr. Pescher and Spolina were the personal representatives, there was this case going on in Chicago involving $1.7 million of life insurance. They, for reasons unknown as yet to the court, did not get the estate involved. Stansberry, as you know, is a creditor of the estate, and so he's looking for ways, a substantial creditor, $2.5 million, he's looking for ways to get money into the estate, sees that there's this litigation going on in Chicago, which could result in all that money coming into the estate.
I remember.
Okay. And so, at this point, Your Honor, the mission has been accomplished in the sense that the estate was allowed, has been allowed to intervene. Discovery is ongoing. In fact, there is a deposition this week up in Chicago. And the attorneys up in Chicago representing the estate have now said, you know, we'll even take this case on a contingency to benefit the estate, or even a modified hourly.
What was Mr. Stansberry, what was the nature of what he was paying?
Just a straight hourly.
To the Chicago order?
Yes, Your Honor. Okay. And so now we think we've got the...
What's the status of the case up there?
Discovery is ongoing, not yet set for trial. In discussing this with Mr. O'Connell, who's here, now the full-fledged PR, because when we first did this, Ben Brown was the curator, authority is limited. So in discussing this with Mr. O'Connell, he agrees. He thinks that they could now go forward without...
I hear something that you settled Stansberry?
We have a signed settlement agreement that Mr. Stansberry has signed. Mr. O'Connell will be coming before the court after notice to every interested party. Mr. O'Connell also agrees.
Is everyone on board on the settlement?
I'm not sure, Your Honor. I know Mr. Rose negotiated with Mr. Feynman in terms of the numbers. I think Elliot approves.
I haven't seen anything yet.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So you say okay to let him off?
Let him off because, Your Honor, the solution is this. If we get this settlement agreement approved, or hopefully we can,
okay,
then that litigation basically can go away with some bells and whistles in terms of
the
everything.
Litigation
in Chicago.
I mean, they're going to... The life insurance case is going to settle?
Well, it can in this sense. That the real need for it, the driver, at least for me as the fiduciary, is the fact that has been mentioned, is a claim against the estate that exceeds the existing assets.
Okay.
Ergo, I can't just turn my back on the fact that there's a potential amount of money to come into the estate. But if we get the settlement done with Mr. Stansberry, then based on what I've seen, there aren't any other claims that really need attention and in that sense. And if I need money, there's a clause in the trust that I can get money from the trust. So I'm pretty much covered in that respect. So that's why I wanted to point out to the court the real solution to this.
Are they still going to pursue the $1.7 million in Chicago?
That I think I could deal with Mr. Rose. I could deal with Mr. Morrissey and come up with a way based on how all this would shake out. And Elliot as well. We might be able to get rid of that litigation. And I know it's a little complicated, but it has to be judged with who would sort of get what based on how that litigation turns out. But I think we'd be in a much better position and would have advanced the ball if we can get that settlement done.
This way. Elliot, what do you say?
I haven't seen anything. Oh, so for to have it paid by the estate? Yeah.
We have the same concerns that we've had from the beginning, which is to not be spending estate assets on this litigation. we had, you know, if you recall, a lengthy hearing discussion about it, but the concern is it's a case where we don't believe the estate has a strong case. And our concern was that you expend state assets to do it.
But now I hear that the lawyers up there will do a contingency fee for the rest of the case.
And that raises, that's actually something that Your Honor raised at the last hearing, which is a concern that if you take 40% of the money, you know, and give it to lawyers, you're taking it out of the family. If you get rid of Mr. Stansberry...
Mr. Stansberry kind of did this semi-gratuitously to keep the litigation alive. He may have had a personal financial interest, but if he's settling the case and getting out, how can I keep him in paying for that Chicago litigation?
And I agree with you, and my suggestion is that you would almost defer this until we have the hearing on the approval of the settlement. The settlement is approved, I agree, Mr. Stansberry should be out completely. And then as Mr. O'Connell says, if you do the math, if you're going to hire a lawyer on a contingency fee, if Mr. Stansberry is out of the picture, if you're going to hire a lawyer on a contingency fee and give up 40% of the money or a third of the money to a lawyer, then no matter how you do the math, it ends up, everyone ends up worse off. Every single person that is a potential beneficiary. So therefore,
I obviously would do a contingency fee because the estate and those interested persons don't want to pay hourly. And so it's one or the other, or drop the suit. And drop the suit doesn't seem to be what we want to do at this point. So,
our suggestion
that interested people who would have, you know, which are the Bernsteins and Mr. O'Connell, don't want to pay hourly because they don't want to continue to diminish the value of the estates, then contingency is what's left.
And Mr. Morrissey, what I represent for the individual creditors of beneficiaries of the estate.
John Morrissey here on behalf of four of the adult grandchildren. And if I may approach, I'll provide Your Honor with a copy of the excerpts from a hearing that we had, wherein Brent Brown was initially appointed, and Your Honor allowed him to go forward with the owner of the case.
Can I get a copy of that?
At that hearing was on November 23rd, but Your Honor made it absolutely clear that under no circumstances was the estate to pay, and I've highlighted that very portion. Your Honor indicates that Mr. Keeman says that his client will not seek fees for his role as administrator ad litem unless and until recovery might take place, and then he'll make application of the funds available. That was what the deal was, essentially. And if Your Honor will look then on the bottom of page 34 and top of page 35, I make inquiry. We're now talking about having to pay, from my client's prospective pockets, Mr. Brown's fees, an attorney up in Illinois. And Your Honor says, I just said that won't be the case. It would only be the case if there was a recovery for the estate, to which then Mr. Stansberry would say, under the statute, I performed a benefit to the estate. Your Honor then says, there is not a dollar coming out of the estate unless there's a recovery, basically. And then the recovery would take place, and he, meaning Mr. Stansberry, would seek some recovery or fee. So at that May 23rd hearing...
Well, that was before we had a PR, and while we had a curator. Now Mr. Stansberry is getting out, so what are you suggesting we do?
Well, I mean, the number one, either you don't let Mr. Stansberry get out, or if you do...
Time out.
Yeah.
Your position on behalf of your clients is that Mr. Stansberry purportedly is going to settle the case and he should still pay for the fees up there. Is that what you're telling me?
No. We don't agree with this purported settlement.
Oh, that's okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, this purported settlement is something that we disagree with.
Okay.
We vehemently oppose. Yeah. My client's position is the opposing settlement is Mr. Stansberry represents the court that yes, he will intervene to the conclusion of this litigation. Now at midstream, he's backing out.
He's not really backing out. He's saying, I'm settling, I'm getting out, I shouldn't continue to pay. That sounds logical. if that happens.
He's not settling now.
Well, okay, well, you know, but until you just told me that this side of the room said that there was a settlement agreement that's going to be circulated, I understand not everyone saw it. I didn't know there was opposition to these two principles. So you're the first voice that I've heard that you're opposing it. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean.
And Judge, there are two things that before Your Honor ruled on this motion that allowed Mr. Stansberry to withdraw, essentially, in terms of paying fees. There are two things that should happen. Number one, as Mr. Rose said, Your Honor should hear, you know, this settlement issue and hear the objections to it and determine whether the settlement should go forward. But even before that, Your Honor should hear the count two of a complaint that Mr. Rose filed, and that is as to the validity of the documents, the underlying documents themselves. If I may provide, Your Honor.
The underlying documents, which documents?
All of them. The last will and testament. Well, essentially, everything falls in place. And why? Because we don't even know who the beneficiaries are. So, in terms of the settlement, Mr. O'Connell filed a motion to approve the settlement. It's theoretically possible that after the Your Honor, here's a motion to approve the settlement, and those who can object to that settlement or agree to it. And if I may provide Your Honor with a copy of the Your Honor's order and the notice of trial that has been filed by Mr. Rose. Mr. Rose filed a two-count complaint, and the second count, if you look at Your Honor's order, and specifically paragraph 3 of that order, says that upon the filing of the answers to count two relates to the documents themselves. The court severs count two.
Okay, I got it. So, Mr. O'Connell, do I have to decide count two and then the complaint or you have a clear sense of how to deal with the potential settlement, Mr. Stansberry?
I don't think so, Your Honor. Here's why, because I'm happy to have Mr. Morrissey advocate now in hearing against the settlement, because I think that's frankly good for the court to hear all sides of this. So if there's some concerns that he has that the court may find valid, that's great. Well, I don't think there are.
But I don't adjudicate sides of settlement. You know, settlements outside of...
Well, I guess whatever his objectives are.
Well, but those are private to you, and I think Mr. Bingham agrees with that, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to have a hearing on that.
If we do,
what about the point that you made that, assuming you do have a draft of a settlement agreement that appears to be appropriate, Mr. Morrissey is saying that until count two is being agreed, we don't even know who the parties are to the settlement, who would be in a position to agree or not agree to it.
I actually know who the parties are, Your Honor, because it would be, we have Mr. Stansberry as the claimant, and then myself as the state defendant. Right. Those are the parties. And then
you're interested in the interested in not be interested in turning on count two.
Correct. And I think it's important enough, Your Honor, just from the standpoint of getting this estate moving towards the conclusion that settlement really does handle a number of
all right, well, here's what I'm going to do. The settlement between the estate and Mr. Stansberry in a final form yet?
It is. We have been hearing from Your Honor.
It's been circulated.
It's signed by Mr. Stansberry.
It's signed by you, Mr. O'Connell, or will be?
Will be. Until
the end. All right. So,
and drafted by Mr.
You two are the two main parties to the settlement, right?
Yes. And it was drafted by Mr. Rose.
Right, hold on, let me finish what I'm going to say. All right, and so there'll be then a motion to approve the settlement, okay? Notice will go to all interested persons who are here, and they have a right then to see if they object, and I can hear, you know, whether I think that they are standing to object and all those other things that I normally hear at a hearing like that. Yes, I would.
If I'm going to be asked to accept or deny that, I think it's between the other
They're the main parties, but they'll serve you with...
But if I have to do that, I have children, and we, if that particular have a conflict of my interest versus theirs in that, they would need representative counsel to sign off on it if you're asking for that. Yes. On that particular issue, I will.
I don't know, so...
Yes. So they would need counsel, and I would ask the estate to provide it if they're asking us to sign off on it.
There's a whole issue that the children are for the court, as Mr. Rose, the lead trustee, his client, is the sole beneficiary.
I got that part. Okay, so here's the way that works. I mean, anyone can appear who says they're interested at the hearing on the motion to approve settlement. You know, they can appear pro se or through counsel. Whoever shows up, from you, who are you? Do you have standing? And then, if they're standing, then I'll deal with basis of objections. So, the children can, if you say, or if you think they're independently interested persons, they can hire counsel.
They're minors.
They can appear themselves if they want to take that position. But I can't, at 8:45 here today, direct the estate to pay for their lawyer.
Okay, I'll check with the state.
Okay, you can talk to counsel about that. All right, so how quickly can that be done?
Today. I can start doing that.
All right, so I'm going to make this a priority matter, and I'm going to give you guys a hearing date on the motion to approve. And then what I'll do is, depending upon that hearing, which I'm going to have right away, I'll deal with the issue of Mr. Stansberry's request to be discharged. And I'm not saying, though, that his discharge is solely tied into whether the settlement is accepted.
That's correct.
I have to independently decide whether it's appropriate that he continue to fund the litigation. It's never a life jail sentence type of thing. You know, there's always... It's an interlocutory order that can be modified. So, you know, I mean, let's keep in mind what I'm thinking. Okay.
Yeah.
So how much time do you think you need? I got it.
Respectfully suggest to court that there's no compulsion for Mr. Stansberry to do anything with regard.
All right. Well, we'll take a look. I mean, I got to grasp for what's going on.
Let's appear over Mr. Morrissey for that time, Alan.
How much time do you think we need collectively to have a hearing?
To move to approve the settlement.
I mean, if there's going to be standing and or substantive objections, I need time to be able to hear that.
I might want to shed a brief light on that.
Okay.
They said that I drafted the agreement. Well, I did actually, on behalf of Ted as trustee, I explored settlement with Mr. Stansberry to the point of, you need to know what the number is so that you can go to the beneficiaries and sort of take their pulse. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's a dollar, it's one thing. If it's $2 billion, it's different. My point to you was, though, that I did get a sense that at least seven of the beneficiaries are theoretically against the settlement.
Okay.
That's why I didn't proceed forward with the settlement. And I didn't have a chance to speak to Mr. Elliott Burson about his position, but he's been opposed to many things. At seven...
He rarely opposes anything.
At
That's
seven,
my recollection of it.
At the last hearing, I didn't object to it.
I haven't, unfortunately. But
only when he's not
seven
here.
Seven out of ten are opposed to it, so I think you may get some... You may get a significant amount of objection to the settlement.
Okay, I just need to know.
9 minutes, maybe.
Hour and a half.
All right, so hold on. I'm filling up this week very quickly. I mean, we want to do this right away, so let's take a look. Can you be ready by the 27th? Maybe 2 hours. You probably heard I gave three dates to that other case ahead of you. I'll just take away the date that I give you folks.
27 is fine for me.
3 to 5, I give you 2 hours.
We're fine.
I can be there.
I think
So you folks have that. All right, so I got to, okay, so you have that on the, and I'm going to call it motion for settlement.
Sure.
Okay. Do a notice of hearing, 3 to 5, January 27th. Okay, and let me just make a note for the other case. Hold on, so I don't.
Mr. O'Connell, I've discussed the issue. He's, I think, of the opinion that it's important to get a resolution on the validity of the documents. Although it doesn't have to be tied to the Stansberry motion, I just wanted to point out I've actually discussed the issue with Mr. O'Connell, and he agreed that
we need to give a trial date on count two.
Yes,
and I agree with that.
All right, correct.
Okay. In which estate is that in, count two?
What case is that in?
Yeah.
It's 14 CP 3698.
So that's Shirley.
Trustee of Shirley.
So that's a separate case, right?
Yeah,
than what we're here for.
Well,
we're here in Simon.
Let's see, hold on.
It's definitely a trust construction case.
And I'm not ready for that yet because we have to see if the trustee is fit to argue that case first.
Well, I'm just trying to, okay,
so we should set that first like we've been trying to for, God, 6 months.
Other things, but let me ask you this. How much time do you need for the trial?
Well, I think it's like half a day at most because there's no evidence. You know, he has to present evidence that the documents are invalid.
All right, so...
And it is a pretty important threshold issue.
Is it that issue?
It's that issue.
Ready for trial?
Ready for trial. We noticed it for trial.
One on that, but... ready for trial, if you're ready now for trial. All the reasonable discovery that's been made has been made.
I'm prepared to try the case. I don't know how much discovery this
right, okay, so who are the other parties on that case?
Now, Mr. O'Connell would like to intervene in the case solely because he's the first representative of the estate, and this will decide who the beneficiaries are of the estate. So he has an interest in it, but he's indicated that he wants to be involved, but he's not going to necessarily be actively litigating.
Let me look at the defendants. Looks like a bunch of children. So is that Mr. Marsh? Are you the defendants?
Four of those. And Molly.
And some of these are the Elliott children?
Minors.
Three are Elliott minors.
Who are unrepresented.
Everyone else defaults. Sure. They defaulted in the sense that they're not taking a position that they're going to rely on what your honor rules. So technically, I think that issue, and it would go a long way toward resolving a lot of issues like who has standing to do various things.
So tell me this, what hearings, other than the one set for... So let me ask you this. Today's 9:30 on the motion for instructions. What's that about? That's the estate case, correct?
It is.
Is that related to this or not?
The estate is not related to the estate.
Okay, all right. So
we need to hear it. Later.
What hearings do we have that are special set now coming up?
We need the hearing to remove Ted first, which is what we've been trying to get.
There's no date for that?
We're still serving the complaint you asked that we serve. So we're still serving two of the parties.
So is there a
three of the parties
removal action to remove Ted as trustee of Shirley's trust?
Yes.
Okay, that's the one that's been pending for a while. And
yeah, we can hear that.
There's been amendments to that, correct?
Well, there was actually a recent filing, and there's been motion to dismiss or directed to it. he hasn't served all the other people. I mean, that's not an issue, and it's not really going to be that issue for a significant period of time. And I think what Mr. O'Connell feels, what I feel, and Mr. Morrissey feels, and the other beneficiaries are, that well, first of all, if you rule that the documents are invalid, then you don't have to remove Ted because he doesn't ever get appointed if the documents go away. So, that's sort of the cart before the horse. And the other thing is you need to get a ruling on the validity of these five documents that are being challenged only by Elliot as to the validity and, I assume, testamentary capacity. And whether Ted's the trustee and then you have Mr. O'Connell, that needs to be tried. And then the removal can happen
in ordinary course. The problem is that you have to have the hearing to remove Ted as successor because then he can't argue that case. And somebody will have to be appointed to come in and argue these things that only these guys seem to want to argue. So if Ted doesn't survive that he's a qualified trustee, somebody else will be appointed who will then decide if we're going to have this or if they're going to concede the documents are fraud.
But if it's a hearing to decide validity of documents, everyone else is going to be participating, including yourself. I don't see why I can't have that hearing.
Because Ted, we can have it, but they shouldn't be allowed to. Ted has conflicting interests in the outcome of this.
But, I take that into consideration at the hearing.
Okay. If you'll do that, that's fine. Yeah, I'm good with that.
I do all that.
That's perfect.
It's not only what's said, but who says it and what.
Let's have that hearing to remove Ted.
Because here's what I want to do. I want to start giving hearing dates that are where we can get some orders and move this to stay along. So I think that's important. Okay, so.
In the last hearing, you said you would hear the petition to remove Ted. You ordered it, actually. And then we'll hear the document stuff if he survives.
I had given a hearing date on that petition to remove, and then you amended, I think.
No.
No. Because it was filed without jurisdiction.
But we're in it. That's in size of state. We're back in Shirley's. Okay.
He's just filed a new complaint. We've just filed motions to dismiss. There's other parties that still haven't served.
That's in Sy. That's in Sy.
Mr. O'Connell's
not Shirley. That's in Sy, not Shirley. So got to keep that straight.
I'm going to give you your half-a-day trial date. I'll count to in this 3698 case. I'm not going to give it to you now. I'm going to have my assistant look at my calendar and give you a half-a-day.
That's fine.
Okay. Elliot, as soon as you're able to serve and do what you can.
And surely I'm ready.
You get on whatever you file in any of the cases.
On side. But on surely I'm ready to have the petition heard. Okay. So if you can give me time right now. Let's have it heard the same day.
In the Shirley case?
Right. Let's have it heard first.
We have the motion to dismiss directly.
Okay, well then get that set for hearing. Okay. I mean, let me start hearing, knocking out the things.
That's what the order you wanted it. Okay. Right. That's the order you ordered.
But, the hearing date on a motion to dismiss is easier to get than a half-a-day trial date. So it'll work out.
Okay.
Objection to the PR intervening in this 3698 case, which is terrible.
I haven't even read this thing. I just got. Did you send this out prior to this?
I believe we did.
I just got the notice for today.
We got a notice for the hearing. We didn't get the document attached with it.
I think.
I don't even. Actually, I do. Because we didn't know what it was when we got the hearing. Hold on, let me take a look at it.
Our position is for the record is.
Are you okay with him intervening?
I've discussed the issue with Mr. O'Connell. I'm concerned that a lot of the state resources not be spent on that, but I've discussed with Mr. O'Connell. He's intervening because he wants to make sure he just protects his right as PR because he needs to know who the beneficiaries are. And so
okay.
He's not going to be spending a lot of money on the thing he's going to be involved in it. We have no objection on that basis.
Right. Okay. Mr. Morris, are you okay with that?
My objection would have been the same. I haven't spoken to Mr. O'Connell, but I mean, to the extent that all beneficiaries are going to be presumably arguing in the cause, and so every beneficiary's rights are represented. I don't know if we need extra resources.
Well, I'm not going to intervene.
Okay.
We'll talk to them about putting in the order. Yeah. Okay. All right. So then, Mr. Fabian, I'm going to defer on your motion until I rule on the 27th. And then bring that back and I'll rule on it that day.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'm just...
Did we have...
45, then we just have that. Now we have the...
Oh, did we get scheduled here a Shirley Trust, the...
I can't because it's not... I have a motion to dismiss.
No, that's inside.
No, that's inside.
No,
Shirley has one too.
Shirley's a petition. He's got an objection to my petition in that case. To dismiss his petition? Thought he filed motions to dismiss in the other case already.
I think I did.
Okay, so I want you to set that for hearing. Call my office.
I'll set that. Is that okay?
Yeah,
since that's my hearing.
That's a half an hour hearing.
And by the way, we've called Mr. Morrissey several times for hearings, and he's just refusing to call back, respond to hearings. And you've already ordered them once to start doing that, but they're...
I'll give you the half an hour hearing date on motions directed to the pleadings filed by Elliot concerning the Shirley Bernstein Trust. Okay? Half an hour hearing, okay on that? You're the only one that has motions.
No, Mr. Morrissey has motions
you
also.
You do, okay. Half an hour enough to hear the motion to dismiss? All right, now I'll give you that date. Okay. Here you go.
And then if that's not dismissed, we'll move to have that hearing on the petition.
January 13th at 11 o'clock on, I mean, these are like headings for my assistant, but it's the estate case and it's a state assignment. And it's a statement of claim and petition for instructions.
There's two statements of claims and Brian's petition for instruction.
Okay, so if you're already here on at between 11 to 11:30, why don't I just have the motion to dismiss go from 11:30 as well? If you're here already, I'll save money.
Have we filed a response to that? Do we have to file a response to that? Okay.
File
I filed the petition, okay.
Okay. You're here. You're looking at me like, how do you want to work there?
No, I'm just trying to figure out how soon that is to get prepared for hearing, but I guess we can try that hearing that day.
It's next Tuesday, but you know, yeah. You're already here, and that's why it's easier to do it. If you're here,
You know what? I don't think I'm ready. I looked at that document, and I think I do want a formal response to it.
You don't have to do a formal response to the motion to dismiss. It's not required by the rules.
But I'd like to.
Well,
meaning there's some.
Okay,
if you're suggesting that, I'll go with that.
Okay, 11:30. Motion is directed to the case of the 3698 case, because that's the Shirley Trust case.
Here on the
time,
it
would
be
10:30. No, the Simon's date was 11. Yeah, you already have that hearing.
Right.
And that, but what's interesting there, just to let you know, yeah, okay, that's the sign. All right, okay, you got it. Okay, so notice that someone's wrong. I'm sure you noticed that.
Sure.
Motion for the
you want me to notice the, in the trust, the sign case and the Shirley case have all the motions heard at the same time? You want to do them separate?
Do separate. These are the different.
Okay, 3698.
That's the one that we need to be able to deal with. Because that'll make your case
3698.
All right, so now petition for instructions.
Yes.
Let me hand you a copy here.
This is actually a petition that Mr. Rose has prepared on behalf of Ted Burton, but I'm we're trying to be efficient, but it is important for a couple of reasons. I'll let you scan.
Well, tell me what you want to tell me about this.
Yeah, what we have is a situation where there's an LLC. It's owned by the Simon Estate, and the LLC then owns the house in which Elliot resides. That house is encumbered by a first mortgage, about $110,000, which is actually the
church.
For the second mortgage, it's in favor of the receiver. So at this juncture, I've got a mortgage. I have an asset, an LLC, that has a mortgage that should be in default. They haven't yet filed a foreclosure. They haven't gone that far, but I want to be proactive, because obviously it's a valuable asset. There's certainly the interest the estate has in its debt.
The second mortgage,
so that needs to be protected. And frankly, by the way, Elliot lives in the house, so that's important. In some way, he's a beneficiary, or children are beneficiaries ultimately. So what I know Mr. Rose had outlined a number of options in here. The one I was going to suggest, the simplest, easiest thing is that we do have about $500,000 of estate assets at this point. We also have the Simon Trust, and there's a clause in that trust, as most trusts have, that if I need more money or I need money, I can make a demand on them. So I feel somewhat comfortable at this point in saying for the $110,000 payoff, I can make that out of the estate assets.
That's what's owed to Walter Som?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And some interest. There's about $3,800 of interest. So I'd like to sort of wipe the slate clean of that.
They'll move then the family mortgage up to a second to a first.
First, yes, sir.
Okay.
Which I think is also a good idea. So again, and then we've stopped litigation before it starts. And Hank,
is there a risk of, is the Som mortgage in default?
It is, because it's due.
Oh, yeah. Your Honor, I'm here on behalf of Som.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. So does anyone oppose the estate paying off the first mortgage?
I think it was my motion back when there was a curator, and you deferred on the motion because you wanted to wait till there was a PR. I think the facts are a little bit off, because the estate doesn't actually own the LLC that owns the house. The estate actually has no interest in the house other than the second mortgage. So there, some of the things I raised, I believe it makes sense to pay off.
The house is owned by who?
It's owned by an entity known as Bernstein Family Realty LLC. And that's owned, ultimately the beneficial ownership of that is in Elliot's three children. But there's probably not any actual equity in the house when you take the first mortgage and the second mortgage. So my suggestion was that the estate purchase the first mortgage, or not pay it off, but purchase it so that they would become subrogated to that lien right, not to contribute an additional $110,000 to the house, but to purchase it or make an arrangement with Mr. Som where they take an assignment of the mortgage, so then the estate would have the first mortgage and the second mortgage and would be in a fully protected position. There's also some unpaid real estate taxes that might need to be addressed. But I concur I agree with the concept of trying to protect whatever interest the state has in its second mortgage. And Mr. Som's lawyers here, which I've never met before, but I doubt they would object to selling the mortgage, you know, and assigning it to Mr. Right.
True.
Yeah.
Your Honor, John
Keller,
on behalf of Mr. and Mrs. Som, and we'd be happy to get paid. I mean, Mr. and Mrs. Som are retired, they're up in the Ocala area. This has been in default since June of 14, and we've been at risk because there's been no insurance and there's been no tax.
Let me ask you this. So is your, as far as the instructions go, you want to pay and be the substitute in?
That's right, and get the assignment is fine.
Okay. All right. Anyone oppose that?
I'm in support of that.
Your Honor,
in there.
Elliot? Support.
Okay, everyone agrees.
If that could be accomplished more quickly, that would be great. Otherwise,
so the answer is yes.
You know, they've been patient.
Okay, yes. Everyone agrees.
You know, the other thing I'd like to do is just catch the taxes up at least for 2013, because...
What about that?
And the insurance. There's no homeowner. They've let it last for months and put everybody at risk. The estate's at risk.
Well, I agree. Mr. O'Connell can do whatever he needs appropriate. But at the same time, just for the record, I don't think it's appropriate that the owner of the property or the person who's living in the property isn't paying the expense of living in the property.
Your Honor, I...
Well, the answer is, no one's ever going to make a ruling on that, but I'm sure I'm not making a ruling on that.
Just for clarification, there's cash in the estate or cash available to pay them, and we can anticipate this in 30 days, perhaps?
That sounds reasonable, yes.
Thank you, Your Honor.
So don't foreclose. We're not going to... Okay, thanks.
Elliot Bernstein, nice to meet you, John. Thank you very much for everything.
Thanks, sir.
Wait, Your Honor, did we... Boo. Just back for 1 second. There was this issue about the second mortgage that was brought up here. The one to my father. Has anything been done on that, or...
I'm just holding it, protecting.
No, the second one to my father. You're holding in, okay.
On your house.
Okay.
Well, right now we're just dealing with the first address.
Okay. Done. Thank you. Happy New Year. Wait till you see what's coming this year.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Can I have your card, please?
Sure.
Thanks. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Try. So my motion to intervene, or maybe Candace has, it should be like a blank order. That's the one he wanted us to come out and talk about. That's the one so I can be involved in the litigation over the validity of
I didn't get it.
Okay.
The other day. I thought it was Alan Rose filed that. What's he intervening in? Okay. Once I saw it was you, it's fine.
Sure. They do.
Well, even like say
now,
American
if you're
Express
that's what I need to ask
say,
you.
Oh,
although we have to, then you have to say in theory, but you have to untangle. Well, the beneficiaries to what under what document, and is that document valid?
They don't need
and
to
so
approve
forth.
It, do they? Because otherwise, my kids need counsel, and the estate should provide it.
I think what we can do on this one, frankly, is he's. I would bet he's going to approve that settlement.
But I think we're all smoking something here because I left there saying. They just said seven beneficiaries don't want it.
Right, I heard that too, but I don't care.
Do you have to?
I'm going to say they don't have standing.
So then we don't need to approve it. Don't ask me to approve it. Because there's,
Just don't object to it.
I won't.
Don't approve it.
No, no.
Say I don't object.
You've got my strategy.
Do you know how much the litigation
exactly
has cost? How much Rose is already billed for this? It doesn't that factor into the economical part of the settlement?
That's
yeah,
what I'm going to say.
Those are right.
And it goes back to...
Because we don't even know what those bills are. He could already build $500,000
and
for
it,
that.
It also goes back, frankly, to Stansbury's situation. That's where the settlement is so good for everybody.
I know.
It just stops the bleeding.
I don't
all
get
in.
It. Ted. Ted's kids... Or objecting to Ted, the trustee's proposed settlement.
Something
gotta be on
in Denmark there.
Yeah. Well, let's let it all happen. That's the beauty of.
But does one of you have my blank order? That's the thing. That one. This is for me to intervene.
Can you shoot me a copy?
Well, we need to get the judge to sign it if you're okay. That's the one he wanted.
I didn't think I was close. I'm like, I haven't had a chance to oppose it yet.
Those are all blanks.
Can you just
stick our head in the door? And I know he likes the...
What's okay?
Yeah.
This is oh, okay. I did say it. I think. Oh.
Judge, very briefly, back on October 10th, we heard the defendant's motion to dismiss the initial complaint. Your Honor entered orders which granted the motions to dismiss as to three of the four counts of the initial complaint, and as to that fourth count, which was actually count one, you treated it as a motion for more definite statement and gave them a chance to replete and amend. Now, some other times when we complained last time, I won't be that bad. This time, what I do want to point out to Your Honor, that in the initial complaint, there was four counts. The first count, which I think at the end of the day is what it all boils down to, is an action for tortious interference with an expectancy. And I know in this division, Your Honor deals with that a lot. Second, there was an action for undue influence which sought damages. Third was an action for constructive trust. Fourth sought removal of the trustee. In the amended complaint, they have walked away from the third and fourth.
So, surely you're ready, Ron?
Okay, and yeah. One last...
Because, I mean, surely I kind of have walled my mind off from trying not to...
Surely am I ready to hear the petition removed, Ted?
Right, because that's what it sounded like.
That's where Spallina altered the
document. Oh, okay.
Well, and what's funny is I filed, I guess it mistakenly filed in my motion or my new case to remove him in size estate,
right.
Or size trust.
Trust.
Got filed with some judge in Palm Beach.
Oh.
Even though it says colon on it. But that's okay because all it takes is a simple letter to the judge to move it to colon.
All right.
We've talked to everybody. And he has to hear it, whatever.
Right. Okay.
Which they usually approve. So, and I'm sure he's not going to want to start a new case with all this going on here.
Sure.
Bring himself into the middle of this gunfight. So he'll be happy to get rid of it. But in the interim, Rose and Morrissey filed motions to dismiss it with that judge. When they were they should have just told that judge, hey, we were ordered to bring this to Judge Colon.
Right.
And not file and waste your time and get your staff all...
Did they set those for hearing?
It's all in there.
Oh, boy.
No, there's no hearing.
Wait, it's
a motion to dismiss.
I've just got to get the last two served.
Okay.
And then as soon as they're served, I'm going to put in the motion to move it and explain to this judge, this new guy, hey, these guys just wasted your time, your staff, your... Wow. Oh, they just don't want to hear Ted being removed, no matter what.
Because it would be good, I know you were saying this, to try to get... the removal and the validity of the documents done at
after
once.
Ted decided all at once after he's gone.
Yeah, because
he can't argue legally this.
Yeah, which you would bring up
right
out of
there,
the box.
Right,
yeah, right on the
right.
Spot.
That's what he said. I'll hear that right
okay,
then.
Good. Okay,
right.
Yeah, it was his attorney. He was paying his attorney who fraud the documents.
Yeah,
he was
that
his
part.
Counsel.
Yeah, that
it's
was,
all
you
crazy.
Gotta
go.
Crazy.
You gotta go.
Okay, there's another issue, the insurance in Illinois issue. How do you think it's gonna be resolved?
Because if I analyze it this way, under the trust and the trust they want,
right.
It goes to the children, right?
Right.
And then in the estate, if it comes back through the estate, it goes to the grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And
ultimately.
And if their documents are knocked out in the estate, it goes to me, Lisa, and Jill.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. So
those are our
So I was trying to do the math. That's the thing I actually did. Rose is right.
It's not going to settle with them.
But I was trying to figure out what are the differences between, if you look at it as family units, what are the differences numerically between it going to grandchildren versus going to children? I understand it's going to different people, but it looked like it was a pretty close percentage-wise if you looked at it on that level.
The problem is Ted and Pam will never give it to their children or their family units. That's been their whole
motive. I mean, that's why they're trying to steal it.
Because they were
they're stealing it from their own children.
So
that's what's bizarre.
No, their children, adults.
Well, they weren't partially at the time.
Because if they're adults and they want to be stolen from them.
That's why Morrissey.
No, they don't even know. That's why Morrissey's been arguing against the.
And the judge said, your clients don't want the money. And he's like, nope, they don't. They want the
parents to have it. No, he didn't say that. He said, I have never talked to my clients about that. But he came and argued against their interests.
Yeah, it sounds like he's always been with me. Like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Ted says, right. Well, that's what it is.
Right. He's in favor of his clients not getting the money so their parents.
But here's the problem. So let me go through some quick fundamentals that are.
Because I'm looking at it from your standpoint.
I'm looking at it as part of premeditated murder and the insurance policy being a large part of a motive to murder my father. I'm looking at the fact there is no policy. Nobody has to date produced a policy. What you got was a specimen policy, it was specimen beneficiaries, and specimen, more importantly, face amounts. My sister and brother-in-law were just, or my sister's husband was just deposed in Illinois.
Yes, we heard that on the phone.
Okay, good.
Joy was on the phone.
That's right. And so what appears happened here is Spallina attempted first a fraud on the insurance company.
Yeah, I know, I agree.
None of this is going away. So I have, and other people have answers to what is the... Where is the policy? Do the reinsurers have it? You should be asking reinsurers right now that are listed in production. I want a copy of the policy with all riders, amendments. I want to know if Shirley Bernstein had a rider. I want to know if this thing had additional cash value riders. How much money was here?
Send us an email. On
I
that,
will.
Okay.
But
that's
so
fine.
This isn't going away.
All right.
And it's not going to settle.
All right.
Because if we settle, we're all kind of doing it. While we know there's a fraud going on.
Okay.
And I've already petitioned the police. I've notified them of your position, that you're the PR.
Okay.
I believe they'll be contacting you at some point regarding this.
Okay.
We're about to put in, by the way, in this, my children's trusts, some stuff that Mr. Sansbury and his attorney are aware of that's going to rock this whole thing this year. It's going to make every document we're operating under look like a fraud.
That'll be interesting.
With witnesses who are attesting to them being inserted into documents illegally.
Wow. Okay, I like that stuff.
New Year's is going to be exciting. I'm just gearing it up in the federal and state investigators, meaning sheriff's now taking it to the feds because it involves the robbing children, minor children's trusts, using false fraud the documents. Oops. Again, Oppenheimer operated on Danny's trust with no signed copy of the trust document. Whoa. The liabilities.
Yeah.
But more importantly, I don't think what we're doing going forward, other than Sansbury, get him out.
Yeah, because he's just...
Get rid of Ted. Get rid of Ted. And then I'm telling you, we have a lot of investigating to do. And right now, more and more evidence looks like premeditated murder to steal a large...
I don't see any on the inventory.
No.
Do you ever get his mail? Where's his mail been going for 2 years? There's none in the production. Where's all his mail?
There's
millions of dollars, we're talking, being stolen here.
There's an email
from
the
estate. You need to get active on this.
It should be coming from, who would the,
from carriers. I gave you a list of 30 of them.
Okay, because there's an email that Ted sent to Spallina saying, I have all of Cy's commission checks, and it makes more sense if I bring them into you and you write me a check out of the estate. Sounds like a great idea for everybody. So Ted's had them. Took him to Spallina, but I don't see any of them in the inventory.
On your email, you're going to add on, remember the commission checks,
okay.
And that's enough, then we'll...
Well, I've got all... Here's the biggest concern that I know that Bill has, too, and it's his counsel. Where's the tax returns Ben Brown ordered from the IRS?
I think we have finally gotten those within the last...
Check today.
But you can add that to your list.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anything you get, if you could, copy us. Okay. It's very important.
That's fine.
We'll try and put it.
You got the tax returns?
I got something.
Okay. From the IRS?
Yeah. That's
okay,
the
good.
Remember.
Okay.
Oh, Bill, he thinks he might have got the...
Maybe. But don't
maybe.
Put it in quotes.
Tax returns. That Ben Brown ordered.
And he's also going to address the commission checks.
Yeah, we were talking about that, if there's more money flying around out there. Well, you're almost gone. How do I get you to get Sy's medical records? Pardon?
How do I get you to get Sy's medical records from his doctors for the last 6 months prior to his death and the hospital?
You should do a subpoena for that.
Do I have a right to them?
Sure you do.
Yeah. Why?
Well, because of your contest of the documents. You're contesting you know, the validity of the documents.
So I subpoenaed the hospital and the doctors?
That's how to get them.
Okay. More fun legal shit. Instead of just call the hospital and say send the record.
Oh, well, there's too many lawyers involved. Well,
would they be able to send the records to you directly, though, if I just call them?
They'd probably have some sort of, I'm sure, form, document, release, something. That's what I'm thinking.
Because that's easier for me than a subpoena. Them,
that's actually easier, believe it or not.
For a lawyer.
Because you would probably have to ask from him for production.
I'd have to ask a lawyer to get that done.
You could get it, but then you'd have to ask for production.
Right.
No, well, I can just ask him for production.
I'm like a lawyer in training.
No, I know, but that's much easier.
I got it.
But you've got, that's what I'm
trying to get you to cut straight to the source. Let me see what the hospital and
doctor say.
Let me see what they say, what their process.
You've seen all these subpoenas. Just copy one.
Okay.
That's all. Okay. All medical records related to Simon Bernstein.
Okay.
Perfect.
Then they might call you and say, well, we have this. I want all of it.
I don't have to have a hearing for that. They should just send them? Okay.
Well, you'll file it, and then you'll see if these people object.
Okay.
But you're used to that.
Okay.
I'm not worried about you.
You should be. The rest of the world is. It's nice that you're not.
Well, we tried to deal with the house, the taxes, the insurance.
The house? So, are you kidding? Do you know what comes when we go to that second mortgage? More fraud entangled into the trusts of the kids that are frauded, we're coming into New Year, and what just happened last year?
What did you do with Walt?
We got rid of Walt, we tried to get rid of you.
I felt bad for that, really was this. They were owed the money.
First of all, they weren't owned the money by the state, so thank you very much. I appreciate that. I do appreciate that on behalf of my father. That's what he would have wanted, and so I really appreciate that in my heart.
Because that was mine.
And then take an assignment of the mortgage so the estate is, quote, protected. The whole hundred. Mm-hmm. So then the estate would have the.
So it'd be 100% of the mortgage obligations are now from
in the estate.
Bernstein Family Realty to the estate.
And then ultimately, my thinking cap would be at some point, whether it's Elliot or his children, can take those debts as part of your inheritance, and then you'll just wipe it out and your house will be free and clear.
No, because I'm gonna tell you to throw the mortgage to my father in the garbage, because it's technically illegal. It was a dummy loan. And
whatever happens to it.
Well, and that's what Ben Brown was behind. He was like, I don't want to pursue this thing. It's all garbage. The promissory note wasn't filed with the mortgage. The mortage is from side to side and some hookah
thing. Brian, you'll be able to call Walt.
And we had a lot of witnesses.
As a witness. It was never Sy's intention to have a mortgage on that property.
We paid for the house out of my kids' trusts. The money for that house wasn't paid by Sy. Sy took the second mortgage because I'm in a RICO lawsuit suing a lot of lawyers. And he didn't want them to penetrate that.
Well, then actually the mortgage may be an asset of the kid's trust, it sounds like.
Or just thrown in the garbage you wanted. Meaning we believe that the promissory note that's there is forged. That's the only original document you seem to have in the whole production of Spleen and Tesher, which is strange. But nonetheless, we believe that thing was supposed to be forgiven.
Okay.
He had no intent. We have all the witnesses. We have multiple witnesses.
Right. You can get it for
we bought the house. It's my kid's house. There's not supposed to be no foreclosure. Walt was the... that's legitimate.
Yeah, that's what we wanted to wipe that out.
The other one was as big a bullshit. And Spleen and Tesher, who say they did it, didn't even put it on the inventory as an asset when they first filed the inventory. They only did it after we busted them. And the police were talking to him. They amended the inventory in the estate to add that in there. And the reason was, we believe, that because we pointed out to the police that they're claiming it's a $125,000 estate on the inventory, and they billed $165,000 of legal fees to date. There's a percentage.
Wait a minute.
So they upped the inventory by $1 million. Oh, hey, we found $1 million on documents we did the mortgages on and should have known about day one. No, it was all bullshit to harass me and try to do this. So I'm going to tear Alan Rose apart at that point where he's trying to steal my house from my kids. And anybody involved in that fraud, I'm going to take, you know, through the sheriff and all this, who's already investigating all this. So well, just so you know that.
Well, all right, that helps. So that puts a.
This is all about Dave Ugly. Whatever we're doing in there today.
And Walt will swear under oath. Do you know Walt?
No.
No?
I don't.
He's been a longtime guy in Palm Beach County, but very. Walt Somm.
Stand up.
He's still to this day. Walt graduated from Notre Dame in 19, I call it 65 or so. He's to this day still holds Notre Dame basketball records.
Hey, that's
and he's huge.
That's pretty impressive.
So the master shower head is so high.
It's like 8-9 feet high. We get showered from way up top.
But he's as straight as an arrow as you'll ever get, very credible, and he'll tell you that, and I'll tell you that it was never Cy's intention for his grandchildren and his child to be in a house where they owed a mortgage to the other heirs of the estate. It was always to be Elliot and the children's
we
house.
Bought it.
Yeah.
The documents, they've fluffed up documents. There's so much forged fraud coming this year, you can't even believe it.
Well, at least this keeps the wolf from the door, because they really did have a valid.
Yeah.
Who?
Well, Somm. Yeah.
Nah, he would have had to go through such a long, kind of bizarre foreclosure. I never do. This was our intent was to get Walt paid like my dad would have wanted. Look, there was money that was supposed to come to the estate to pay Walt Somm that my dad had arranged long ago.
Walt is a very decent human being.
It was Ted.
Yeah, he held off.
Other guys of lesser character
would have foreclosed.
Walt called me. He got a letter that we submitted to the court where he says, writes me and says, your parents would be mortified at what your brother is doing regarding this, because it's all fraud, to extort me, to try to harass me, to, you know, make it like they're going to throw them. They already got my kids out of school. They've already starved us out of our inheritance. They're interfered with our expectancy to kill us. So believe me, I'm coming in to put them in prison. I put every one of them in prison.
As additional color, Walt Somm was in the insurance business his whole life. When he retired, Cy Bernstein bought Walt Somm's insurance.
Oh, wow.
And the house was part of the deal.
Was part of his retirement. Okay. Because it backed up to the school. So then we enrolled at the school. The whole plan.
Yeah. That, oh, no. My dad had it so that the kids would be evicted by Alan Rose.
Just a guy that had a house. So Cy saw it on the street and went in and made an offer.
Right.
And did all of this cockamamie stuff.
There's a relationship.
Walt and he had numerous conversations about the house and the benefits to the kids and the location.
And no interest is ever paid on Cy's alleged mortgage. No, nothing.
The gate in our back that goes out on the St. Andrew's School. Where
this
we
is part of extortion.
That was the whole part of, you know, they go to training.
Yeah, they destroyed their lives this year. So believe me, I'm coming out a little pissed.
Let me ask you a litigation-related question then. How's Walt's health?
Good. But he's got some diabetes, right? And heart?
Walt had some heart issues, as a lot of big guys do when they get to be that age.
You may want to take his deposition just as a gratuitous observation at some point. Because things happen.
Mm-hmm.
The good die young.
Yeah, no, I know.
Stuff. So you might not want to let that.
You may want to take Patricia's, too.
He sounds like...
Not Patricia's firm, Patricia Fitzmaurice.
Walt sounds like there's a lot of info.
With regard to the house, absolutely.
A ton.
Not
just helped
house.
Us through
yeah,
what's...
I think it
right.
sounds like, going to say, it sounds like it's more than the house. It's more,
he knows the net worth of Cy being at $47 million. Dollars.
Walt, and others, I've heard it, that Elliot... The comment was, if Elliot can't live with a house paid for free and clear and X amount per month... for the rest of his life,
and the good.
Then, excuse me, F him. In other words, if Elliot can't manage on that, then too bad for Elliot. But it was substantial assets.
And he was confided in that this day was worth $47 million just a few years before. And we all have these companies. Did you get any of the stuff on the missing company of my brother's hiding from you?
Life insurance concept, Rick Holden.
It's on your... Accounting, no
yeah,
value.
Yeah, I know it's on there, right.
Have you demanded the records of that? Would you please?
Okay.
We all need it. It's part of my kids' trusts. It's part
of... 100% sure. shareholder of Arbitrage Management, Arbitrage.
Yeah, there's 15
marketing
companies under that.
Should we put that in the
put
email?
Put that on the email.
Okay.
See, I
okay.
like these my reminders.
Yeah.
Yes,
you want to hire her too? You hire all those pretty women.
Yeah, she'll be next.
No, he's
what? Yeah.
A cuter, younger, smarter version of me.
Oh.
Joy L.
You can open a branch office down in Boca.
Yeah, I know. Just keep it going.
Yeah, he's got a mill going. Good looking girls who went to law school. Honey, you gotta go to law school though.
Funny, there was that Notre Dame connection that ran through there for a while, because Sam Budnick, the football coach, was a Notre Dame grad. He's hired.
Get what? Get what? You'll come back and get what? The what? No, I need those to send that report. So go in there right now and get them. Okay. I need them. That's the last piece. I'm not likely to come back. I'm all done with the complaint. Bill said the end is riveting. Bill said the end is riveting. I don't know if you read it. I emailed it to you. Did you get it?